Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. You are listening to the show that will discuss and kind of go around about and even get into the nitty-gritty and the details. And I think I'm remiss in doing that. I think I need to go into that again. Maybe we will cover that next week. And what I'm saying, the details of the process of getting how the states can get the federal government into compliance with their constitution. Most people think it can't be done, but actually it can. The process was defined by Jefferson in his first book, The Notes on the State of Virginia. That was the initial thought of the concept, and it grew and grew, and they actually executed it in 1798. However, there was the prevailing sentiment throughout the Republic was not shared with them, and what ended up happening was it kind of sparked the, and when I say the sentiment of the politicians, not the people of the Republic. The citizens were, I think, a little bit, let's just say, disappointed with the direction of the government and regulating and limiting speech and so forth. And so they were very successful in changing, and Jefferson and the Republicans won the White House and I believe the House and Senate in 1800. And from that point on, they gained more and more ground. And by the time Monroe was president, the Federalists, you know, they started changing their names to Whigs and so forth. The Republican Party was the dominating party until Van Buren created the Democratic Party for Andrew Jackson, which was the Jackass Party, because that's what Andrew Jackson loved. I mean, he thought that that was the epitome for a mascot for the Democratic Party, and that is the same party that exists today. A lot of people say, oh, no, Madison created the Democratic Party. Nope, because why would all of a sudden another Democratic Party come along if he created the Democratic Party? That is a misnomer. And what they have done is they've obfuscated the truth of the Republican Party. And to actually support this, what did Jefferson say in his first inaugural address? I've said this before. He said, we're all Republicans, we're all Federalists. He didn't say we're all Democrats or Democratic Republicans. He said, we're all Republicans. Madison referred to it as the Republican Party. And if you look, the adjective, if you want to call it that, it was just a flair. It was a style put in front of Republican to denote that it was a party for the people. Because a Republican form of government does not necessarily mean it's a Democratic. It could be an aristocracy or something else. But anywho, what I am here to do is I'm here to give you the details of what we need to do. And so a lot of times I end up spending a lot of time going through marketing. What the heck's going on? And most all of this stuff falls well outside the boundaries of the federal government as far as the Constitution. In other words, the federal government has no right and or authority to do a lot of the stuff that it does. So if you want to listen and you can't stream, you can't, you know, get the broadcast on your radio, then write this number down. This is the dial-up listen number. So you can sit there at your desk and dial up and just act like you're in a telephone conference while you're at work. Or as you're driving along in the car with your tech, you can just, you know, pick it up with your cell phone. And the number is 605-562-4209. Now, I told you I was going to do the vial interview today, but actually I told you at the end of the day yesterday that we wanted to slide it out another day. So with that, I need to get into some more marketing. And I'll just start off with, what's it going to take? If you look at what the heck is going on around the world, if you look at what's going on here in America, you've got to recognize that things are not getting any better. They're getting exponentially worse. So what's it going to take? I hope that this year is the year that most Americans start making the decision that we have to stand up, or we stand to lose everything. Now, let me grovel real quick. See, I want to get to the groveling first. If you want to help us, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. There's another way you can help us financially. If you buy Red State Coffee, come to reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on the front page, as well as our sponsors, or contribute or what have you. Go to that page, you'll find it there too. This is Red State Coffee, and it comes in grinds and or whole beans. Now, there's another way you can help. You can send us some money via our GoFundMe, our crowdfunding campaign, and that is reclaimingtherepublic.org, and it is also on the reclaimingtherepublic.org domain. We need your support, and there's different ways that you can support, but send us a letter. Send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, I got a lot of stuff to go through, so I still want to get through some of these obligatory things. Constitution Day plans. Let us know what you're doing. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just put in the subject line, Constitution Day plans, and we will get that word out so anybody that might be in your area can come and crash your party and say, hey, this is great. I want to also tell you that, as I always do, I go through the news, and sometimes I go, that's kind of big, but it's not going anywhere. I'm not going to bring it up today. The most important thing I look for when I go through the news, is there any sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers? And the answer is no. I know I'll never see it, but I'm looking anyway, because who knows? I'd hate to have somebody call up or, send me an email and say, hey, you missed this. They actually shut down the Department of Education. Well, that'll be the day. But anyway, and the biggest problem with this is that even though the federal government may shut something down and recognize that maybe they shouldn't be doing it, the next tyrant can come along and reinstitute that because it wasn't shut down by the proper authority. And that proper authority is the states, period. The states have to do this, and this is why we have to stand up and get our states involved and so forth. So, one final thing, and this isn't an obligatory, this is an honor. I want to plug Red Pill Expo. This is a place you need to be. Hartford, Connecticut, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Yesterday, I was closing on President Trump's welcome of Hungary's Viktor Orban. I'm applauding this, and I understand our cultures are a little different, but we're not that different. And as I said, we need to protect our culture. Well, I know as I signed off, people are going, well, what the heck does that mean? What does protect our culture mean? Some of you get this. Maybe some of you don't. Well, if you look at the bedrock of American culture, that bedrock is individual liberty and individual sovereignty. We're losing that because we're being forced and mandated into all sorts of things. Compulsion in welfare, whether you want to support these drug addicts or whatever they're spending your money on, you have no choice on the matter. They take it from you, and if you don't give it to them, or if you try to hide it from them, they will arrest you and throw you in jail for tax evasion, because you are obligated to pay for the unconstitutional laws and government that they want to inflict upon you and our society. Well, that flies in the face of our bedrock, individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Another thing that was a part of our culture was that we were not an open border society or country. And it wasn't because of race, but because of religion and ideology. As a matter of fact, even within the white race, there were huge divisions between the Anglicans and the Francophiles. The Federalists called the Republicans Francophiles, and the Anglicans, or I should say the Republicans, called the Federalists British lovers, Anglicans, and so forth. You can see that even though as a Christian nation, we were a Christian nation, even though we were one, we were still even split on those faiths or sects, S-E-C-T-S. And so if you look at how Madison kind of carved out this openness towards all Christian faiths, non-denominational for the general government, that was a first. It was a first because it respected all different Christian faiths. There was no nation, there was no state in the Republic that allowed, any religion and every religion. As a matter of fact, every state had its own state-sponsored religion at the time of the Constitution. And I do have an article coming out about this. But we need to protect religion, and more specifically, in today's climate, we need to protect Christianity. There is a faith, it's called Islam, and they have declared war on Christianity. There's no doubt about it. That's why they behead Christians if they don't convert or what have you. And they declared war on the Zoroastrians, and look what happened to them. I'll tell you about that when we come back from the break. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so as we were going into break, I made a comment, look at what happened to the Zoroastrians. The Zoroastrians was the faith that was predominant in South Asia, which was right there in Iran, Iraq. It was the Persian culture, and went all the way over to India, the Pakistan's kind of area. And anyway, if you look at the religion in that same area, Bangladesh and all of that,
if you look, the predominant faith, the Zoroastrian faith, is gone. It has been obliterated at the hands of Islam. And the predominant faith throughout all those countries, and as a matter of fact, some of them are hardcore Islamist states, I am here to tell you that they have declared a war on all religions, not just Christianity. I don't want to highlight just Christianity, but they look at Christianity as the vulnerable religion today, as well as Judaism, or if you want to call it Israel. But anyway, the Hebrews. I have an article coming out regarding America's founding on Christianity, and I think you'll find it interesting. It's an academic type of argument, so it's not going to be entertaining, but if you want to learn something, then you should probably pick this up. I'm going to be throwing it out there. It's got a ways to go. It's not a short article. It's like 28 pages, so it's a mini book. But anyway, another bedrock or another tenet that was a part of our bedrock of our culture was trying to establish free trade with nations that were open to us, and not having free trade with hostile nations. And as a matter of fact, Washington dealt with this during his administration. And I believe Adams kind of played with it a little bit, but when Jefferson became president, he really invoked some hardcore economic sanctions against Britain. And the fruit of that, that's the best way to say this, the fruit of those sanctions took a long time to impact. But there is no doubt America at that point in time may not have been a strong military force. As a matter of fact, Britain thought we were a pipsqueak nation when it came to military, because that's true. We didn't have lots of ships. We didn't have the ability to project force or anything like that. And they were seizing our ships. At one point in time, I think it was like in the 1794-95 time frame, maybe 96, Britain seized 100 ships in the Caribbean, American ships. And so they were constantly being hostile to us, and we were doing anything and everything we could to continue to trade with them, or I should say those administrations, as well as the New Englanders. The New Englanders, why do you think they called it New England? They had an affinity for Britain. They loved everything Britain, and that's why there was this whole Francophile, Anglican, separation between the parties. I mean, it was a stark separation between these parties. But the point is that as we started dealing with hostility, we finally woke up and said, you know what, we're no longer going to be trading. And that became a bedrock of American economics. We sought free trade, but when nations were hostile in their trade with us, then we started using tariffs. It was an embargo. I think it was an embargo that Jefferson used. But bottom line, we started using economic warfare at a very early time within our republic. We wanted to have free trade, but we aren't committed to having free trade with hostile nations. And so today, if one looks, because at that point in time, we were not trading with France. I don't think we were trading with France. We ended up stopped trading with England and I think even Spain until they started, because America was the big buyer. We had lots of people over here. We were 13 states and growing, and we were consuming a lot of goods. So people wanted a piece of the action. Now, today, we used to not trade openly with China, the Soviet Union, Iran, Cuba, and so forth. And now today, as W. Cleon Skousen pointed out, that they wanted the progressives and the communists wanted to make sure that America stopped using those trade embargoes and so forth. And because of that, we have been basically subsidizing communism, as I've said before. Paradigms need to shift, and companies that are using China or any of these hostile nations for manufacturing or developing their products, such as Apple, Google, need to be incentivized to leave, and an incremental tax needs to be invoked on their goods. In other words, let them know, hey, you better stop dealing with and working with China. And if you don't, then we're going to increase our tariffs and or taxes on you. And, either let them, leave. But that's okay. If Google wants to sell their phones, they want to sell their apps, and Apple wants to do the same thing, they're going to have to pay the government a lot of money so that, they can continue to do that, to a point where it will not be profitable for them to continue. In other words, you give them a little bit of time to, make haste and get the heck out of there. All companies, whether that be Hewlett-Packard, whether that be General Motors, it doesn't matter. We need to start implementing incremental taxes on American companies that are giving technology to China, because that's exactly what they've been doing. And I can't imagine why anybody would want to do that. If you really look at this whole subsidizing of communism, this goes back to FDR, Truman, Johnson, even Nixon, Carter, both Bush presidencies, Clinton and Obama. All of these administrations continue to practice of subsidizing communism, and specifically Nixon. From that point on, from Nixon, we were hardcore pumping money and helping China get on its feet so that it can become a true force and be able to get into a position where they can start trying to play bully with us. And that was the whole intent. And look at how dark, look at how evil China is. And I'll get into that, because Haley, former ambassador to the UN, Haley, she made some comments on this, and I'll get into that in just a minute. I will just tell you this, that these companies and our trading and everything else with these communist states needs to end, and it needs to end as soon as possible. I support Trump and would like to see him automate imposts, as I have said before. Instead of him actually having to make the decision to go ahead and do it, he should just have an automated process that whenever China wants to slap us with a $50 billion tariff, that we have a reciprocating response, boom, instantly. And so it's just a matter of automating it. So they know that if they're going to do this, then it's going to be automatic. It forces them to actually start leveling the playing field. You got to remember that there is no good thing about doing business with China anyway. We should actually just cut them off completely, because that is slave labor. If you're okay with children and or people that are chained to their workstations, on an assembly line or what have you, and not being given, where are the unions in this, right? But they're not being given humane conditions or anything like that. And it doesn't matter, because China doesn't care. They don't have a resource problem when it comes to people. If they were hit with a plague that killed 500 million people, they'd still have too many people. So they don't have to worry about, what it takes to maximize productivity of their people or population. We're not even close to tapping that. They would love to be at a point where they're firing on all cylinders with all of their resources. But that being what it is, I believe that Trump needs to automate the process. This way he can ensure that we are no longer subsidizing global communism or global socialism. Now, back to Hungary. Hungary has done two things that I think are critical considering their environment that moves them closer to standing on the bedrock that we as a nation utilized as building our republic. And one of those things was that they declared Hungary a Christian nation. I believe it was last year when they did that. And now they are barring Islamist immigrants into refugees, what have you. They're barring them into Hungary. In other words, they're not allowing it. And I think those are two good moves on Hungary's part. They're not obligated to decimate their people and their culture. Why would any nation have to decimate themselves? Why would any nation allow a parasitic growth to actually infiltrate and destroy your culture? We have a responsibility, like I said before. We and every nation has a responsibility in protecting their cultures. Bottom line is these policies in Hungary are the principles that were represented in our republic, not the general government. You got to understand that the general government was framed differently. It was not to have any polarization towards Christianity or which Christianity it was. It was responsible in protecting life, property, and our expressions. Remember, we have property in our rights and rights in our property, as Madison said in his essay on property. Well, I'm out of time on this segment, so we'll get back and we'll talk a little bit more about Iran saber rattling when we come back. So please stay tuned. And this is a real threat that we're facing, but we'll be right back after this. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Now, there's been a few, let me see here, what's a good word for it? Progresses. Iran has made progress in, there we go. I just want to get this out. And I hate mispronouncing stuff, but I get tongue-tied sometimes. Anyway, Iran has been very successful in progressing in some very nefarious types of things. And this happened a long, long time ago, back in the Bush and Obama administrations. And I think most people either were never told of this, and you can duck go this information, or Google it if you can't break away from Google. But bottom line, these bits and pieces of development that Iran has been involved in, it's not just the centrifuges and development of nuclear material. Iran has been doing a lot of other military type of testing. One of the things is that Iran has tested, I think it was out on the Caspian Sea, whatever that large body of water is away from the Persian Gulf, where, you know, American eyes and other foreign eyes don't get a chance to see them openly. but they were over in the Caspian Sea, and they were testing small craft launching of ballistic missiles. And this was occurring, I believe it was Bush or during the Obama administration. They also have tested high-altitude detonations to deliver an EMP attack. All likelihood is pointing to that Iran has plans on trying to deliver an EMP attack on a particular nation or a particular geographical region. Now, you got to understand, EMP is kind of a non-discriminatory type of weapon. If you're in the blast range of that weapon, then everybody, so like if you did it right over, you know, Austria in Europe, well, there's going to be a lot of other countries that would be affected by that because of the high altitude that blast would take. And so if Iran wanted to, I believe they would be able to actually come within the American coastline and be able to launch. And the, as I looked at it, using a little bit of analysis, it would only take Iran to go down into Mexico and, you know, just sit in one of their ports and just hop, port hop north until they're right close to the southern border of Texas, and then take off from that port and go across the Gulf of Mexico. And they would be in a good position of taking a medium-range ballistic missile right over the heartland of America. Now, if they only get the heartland, because if I'm correct, depending on where that thing goes off, the Rocky Mountains and the Cascade Mountains will shield a lot of the West Coast just by the terrain masking, because those mountains are pretty tall. However, the East Coast might be harshly hit, but maybe not completely if it's too far to the west. So they may actually detonate that baby somewhere closer to, you know, that central time zone of hitting Chicago and the East Coast, which would devastate America for a very long time. Russia, there's been a lot of people that have analyzed EMP and using an EMP weapon where they don't kill us, they would just shut us down so that now anybody can come in, and literally the Royal Guard of Iraq or any type of small two-bit army would probably be able to have a decent run. However, you know, they would be dealing with all the militias and the heavily armed U.S. populace, and God bless the Second Amendment, right? Bottom line is that it may be inevitable that we will have a military conflict with Iran. I'm going to tell you that they are cowards when it comes down to really pushing right back in their face. They like to use a lot of hyperbole, especially when they think that they've got a placating politician like Obama, then they're just ratcheting up the hyperbole. But with Trump, I think it is just a bunch of rhetoric, and I think they're very careful of how they want to choose their words, not like in the old Bush and in the old Obama administrations. The hyperbole is different now, and my point is that there's a good likelihood that we might be engaged in dealing with one of China's rogue states, because again, I've told you this, Iran has and has been dependent on China for a lot of their technology, weaponry, and so forth. Now, Ambassador Haley, former Ambassador Haley, was just recently roasting China, but as far as I'm concerned, she did not go far enough. Now, she mentioned the Orwellian surveillance state. She also mentioned the Chinese government requires even privately owned companies to work for the military, meaning that business with Chinese is not just business. It is world domination and military focus. Its focus on military projection of force is critical as well, and she really didn't harp too much on that. I talked about this new carrier and so forth. we need to be very cognizant that every minute of the day, every year, they're doing everything they can to beef up their ability to project force. Because it's nothing if you just lob a few missiles. You have to be able to get there, put your feet on the ground, and then start occupying and dominating. That is a true military strategy. It's a crazy man strategy like Kim Il-un, who is just wanting to launch missiles, and that's just another rogue state. North Korea and Iran are both rogue states. And I don't know, I think Pakistan has been getting their assistance from China as well. Another potential rogue state. Anyway, back to what she did not mention, and I take umbrage with the fact that she did not mention the live organ harvesting and the aggressive political prisoner system that they have. I do agree, though, with her final assessment, which is basically this, quote, "Managing our relationship with China is a complex strategic puzzle, and the stakes could be life or death." And I agree with that. I do believe it's complex, but I don't believe it is that complex. I believe that some of the things we can do, like automated imposts, if they want to raise, then we automatically raise to match, to ensure that whatever they're targeting or whatever they're doing, we are automatically meeting that. I mean, they make a move, and within a second, we've made a move as well to counter it. And so it takes the fun out of trying to have the diplomacy. It's almost like, I don't know if there's ever anything that if you punch something, you instantly get punched back. I mean, if you can imagine that perfect scenario of like you're actually shadow boxing in a mirror, and every time you hit the mirror, you get slammed at the exact same time. That's what it would be like. And so I truly believe that we have to start getting aggressive in engaging China, because they believe, just like Britain believed, we're pipsqueaks, that we don't deserve to be the dominating force. And Russia's supporting that. There's a lot of bad players out there that are supporting that. Now, here's some interesting info, because I don't know if you knew, but Walmart exposed how much they pay a local store manager's salary, and it is on the average of $175,000 a year. Well, that seems like a lot, but it's really not, my friends, especially in the magnitude of the volume of the business that store is making. That's nothing. But here's even a better one for you. Look at the Costco store managers. I believe this was just today. Costco came out and they wanted to mention what their store manager salaries were. And it ranges from $52,000 to $146,000. In other words, their average is probably somewhere around $100,000. And it just goes to show, you know, that Costco, if people are complaining about, you know, Walmart, you know, hoarding all these profits, then not like Costco. And I will probably tell you, if you start looking at Amazon and so forth, you'll find that Amazon does not really pay their employees considering the profits that they're making. Of course not. They're treating their people like slave labor. And as a matter of fact, it was in the news yesterday that they said, hey, we'll give you $10,000 if you quit and start your own delivery service for the people that are working in their own delivery and central fulfillment and so forth. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to raise their profit line again by getting other people to assume the liability of healthcare and those types of things so that they don't have to carry all those costs. They're not really nice guys. Amazon is a very dark company, and they have dark, nefarious plans. Anyway, one final thing that I find interesting, and because Walmart is going toe-to-toe with Amazon and all these big players, and I've told you this before, Walmart is the only company that has the ability to actually go toe-to-toe and, you know, and play. There's no doubt, if you haven't done it yet, you need to start actually comparative pricing if you're doing online shopping, you need to compare with Walmart and Amazon. And, oh, by the way, Walmart is now offering next-day delivery. And I don't think they're charging for, you know, Prime services or anything like that. And they do deliver. They deliver much faster than Amazon. If you need it fast and it's a buck more, it's worth going to Walmart instead of Amazon. Anyway, I'm at a hard break. We will be right back with some more marketing after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Now, I will say this. Let me kind of stitch some of this together. I started off talking about Hungary and how they're protecting their culture. And if you don't understand what's going on in America, our culture is under attack big time from the open border policies and so forth. We need to be very, very clear in setting a path forward in protecting and maintaining our culture of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. What's it going to take? Because the progressives, if they have their way, if you do not get involved, if you do not assist in helping us get good constitutional candidates in office, we are at risk of losing it all. Period. As Haley just stated, the stakes are death and life, or life and death. And so, let me, you know, cover the Iran saber rattling and also this real threat of China. If we, because we've been kowtowing, because we've been subsidizing, what happens when you give somebody something and they get to a point where they're not only enabled, they're running rickshaw over you and they're poking you in the eye because of this enabling. What happens when all of a sudden you turn that off? Well, they start screaming like a baby, like a little girl. And what does that mean? That means that we're finally having an effect. And so what we have to do is we need to make them squeal. And we need to make them realize that, you know, it's not our job to enable their bad behavior anymore. And as a matter of fact, it is our job to protect our culture, to protect our beliefs, and more importantly, to protect our citizens' life and property. So, moving forward, I want to tell you that Disney not only took control of Fox, but it seems like they've taken control of Hulu today as they've been buying in these mergers and acquisitions. Now, Let me ask you this, because this is also in the news. Apparently, Governor Newsom is actually out to pardon all of these potentially deported illegals that are here, and he wants to pardon them. And so the question is, can a state governor pardon a criminal who has violated a federal law and committed a federal crime? No. He has no jurisdiction over that. The federal law trumps that. And so what he will probably do is he'll probably be able to coerce and or convince whatever state penitentiaries or jails or what have you to let them go. I believe that the DOJ needs to arrest him for violating the Constitution. We've got to quit allowing people to tread, stamp, and rip up our Constitution. We have to put consequences to these types of behaviors. This is terrible. Now, I don't know if you'd heard this, and I just have to throw this out here, and then I'll move into some of really interesting information that G. Edward Griffin has put out lately. I'm not sure if you've heard, but it looks like NASA is now wanting to put a woman on the moon, and they're going to be, you know, spending a lot of money in getting ready to do such a thing. Wow. I'm at a loss of words. I mean, really? We're going to waste money in the name of political correctness? NASA is out of control. I mean, NASA's involved in all these chemtrails. Trump really needs to look at shutting them down, because they've just become an ideological arm for technology and space. I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Anyway, I'll let you chew on that for a little while. Last week, G. Edward Griffin pointed out that there were two Colorado shooters that were hardcore leftists. And I also talked about some policies that were coming out. And the interesting thing back on these two leftists is I believe one of them was a transgender female-to-male type of thing. These kids, and that's one of the reasons why these kids just stormed out of the politicizing rally that the politicians wanted to take advantage of. And this is in Colorado, and this is not far outside of Denver. If you know where the Columbine shooting was, it's not too far away from Aurora. Anyway, the funny thing is these kids are finally fed up. They realize that mental health is the problem, and that's what they were chanting as they walked out. Not sure if you heard, this happened in the news. I can't believe it, and it's another one of those facades, I believe. But San Francisco has banned cashless stores. In other words, there are stores that wanted to do nothing but cashless business. In other words, you can't walk in with money. You have to use a credit and or, you know, access to your bank or what have you. And so this, to me, is interesting. It's another one of those. If it's happening in Frisco, then you can just bet that this is trying to set a legal precedent so that they can be shut down. They don't mind being shut down because that's what they want, because they're that far left in the progressive ideology. Another facade of free speech that G. Edward Griffin pointed out, and he said that Russellville, Arkansas, men carrying Nazi flags, Christian flags, anti-Semitic cross, a cross, and a portrait of Jesus disrupted a Holocaust remembrance ceremony. Billy Roper, the leader of the white supremacist group Sidewall, claimed that the demonstrators were affiliated with his organization. The Sidewall group's demonstration was offensive to most people, leading to criticism of white people and Christians. And so the fact is that they're trying to boilerplate, because again, and you're going to hear this from Dr. Vile, you're going to hear this from anybody that has a rational sense. There are not a lot of these people. These people are a minority compared to the fascist Antifa, these communist organizations such as BLM and so forth. All of these groups are much higher in number than the KKK and or all of these Nazis. These guys are real outliers. And, you know, how often do we hear these things? We hear every single one of these things because it is a part of the narrative, but we never hear all of the things that's going on in Portland, Seattle, and so forth with Antifa and all of the other leftist radical organizations. And to be clear, the Nazis are a leftist radical organization. They are not a conservative. They just happen to be a white organization that is hardcore leftist nationalism. That's what they are all about, socialism and nationalism, centralizing more and more powers to the central government. I'm not sure if you heard, but from California to Oregon, it's because this originated in California, in Woodburn, Oregon, this is J. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, the parents of an 8-year-old boy are suing the school district for basically $1 million after they say their son's second grade teacher took him away from recess and forced him to sit through transgender re-education on at least 3 occasions. The boy used the bathroom for school staff, leading the teacher to believe the boy wanted to transition and encouraged him to seek gender reassignment. Do you believe that these teachers are just there trying to teach a curriculum, or do you believe the teachers are ideologues trying to ram down a very destructive ideology down America's throat? These are not outlier cases. It's just that too many times the parents are so disaffected and apathetic that they're just not really attuned to what's going on with their kids. Another thing that came up, and this is kind of, again, G. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News. The co-founder of Facebook, Chris Hughes, is outwardly saying that the federal government should break up Facebook and implement speech rules. He would actually like to see the government take over and control speech and the forum. Interesting, huh? And in suit with violation of the Bill of Rights, J. Edward Griffin points out that the radical positions of the 2020 Democrat candidates have been exposed as, and I believe Tucker Carlson should be credited for this, but he's exposed that these Democratic candidates are huge gun grabbers and intend to confiscate guns, yet they refuse to give their own armed guards and guns up. Gun bans do not work and make people less safe, as everybody knows, and there's been a lot of really good studies on this. More and more, suppression of speech and expression are the initial tactics of seizing control. You can see that Hamilton was a part of that with Adams and the Sedition Act. Hamilton, even though he had left and stepped down from the Treasury Department, he was still pulling the strings with the Federalists in Congress in writing these acts, and Hamilton was whispering in John Adams' ear. And as a matter of fact, Hamilton was the one that gave John Adams the list of judges that he needed to appoint because these guys were ideologues that were willing to tear and shred the Constitution. And so one of the first things that they try to do is they try to suppress speech and the expression. And so that's what we're starting to see. That's what's becoming prevailing trend in America. So my question is, what is it going to take to get you to take a stand? It's only going to get worse if you do nothing. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. Please step up. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.